Dearly beloved, this is a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, and we've come to the second petition. We pray, Thy kingdom come. First, you need to learn what the kingdom of God is not, and then you need to learn what the kingdom of God is, and then you'll understand how God's kingdom comes. What this kingdom is not is a worldly kingdom. The Lord Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, My kingdom is not of this world. And yet for centuries, wrong-headed Christians have been seeking the kingdom of God in this world. Let me give you a few examples. In America, over 100 years ago, the social gospel taught people to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth by improving society. Premillennialists have tried to read the book of Revelation in such a way that politics and society here on earth would become better and better, ushering in the kingdom of God here on earth. Nowadays, various so-called Christian environmentalists take something good, care and stewardship for God's creation, and make it bad, thinking that by caring for creation, we are actually establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. To all of these, Jesus answers, My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is not about improving society so that we have a sustainable environment, so that world hunger is ended, so that wealth is redistributed, so that everyone can eat and drink bodily food to his heart's content. The Apostle Paul explains in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Of course, feeding the hungry and being a good steward of God's creation, these are important, but they are not the kingdom of God. So make a distinction. God rules the world, but that is not his kingdom. God's will reigns supreme even here on earth, but when he speaks of his kingdom, he's speaking about his kingdom of grace, his kingdom of grace. And this is not a worldly kingdom. So what is this kingdom then? Where is it? If it's not of this world, where is it? Or what is it? Is it perhaps just a synonym for heaven? Are we not in it until we die and go to heaven? No. And here's where knowing some Greek and Hebrew can be of help. That word for kingdom can also mean kingship or reign or ruling. It can be a verbal noun. Thy kingdom come means let your kingship come, or take up your reign right here. Now, so often when we think of a kingdom, we think of a parcel of land with a monarch in charge of it. We think of the kingdom of England, perhaps, or maybe a mythical fairy tale type of land. But here, we're talking about God's action. God's action of saving us. You can see this all over Matthew's gospel, by the way. Take a look sometime and see what the Lord Jesus says about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He's constantly speaking about it. And it's obvious that this kingdom is not just something of the end times. It's not just something up in heaven. It is also something that takes place, something that happens here and now. It happens. It grows like a mustard seed. It leavens the lump. It is like a treasure hidden in a field, found and purchased, and so on and so forth. Notice, all of those parables describe something happening. They all describe the way of salvation. So it's really no wonder that God's Son died for you on the cross with a sign above his head that said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And no wonder he wore a crown of thorns. And no wonder the thief that was crucified with him prayed, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The kingdom of God is Jesus reigning over us, having purchased us with his blood and his death. By his cross, he made us citizens of his kingdom. So now we know what the kingdom is not, and we know what the kingdom is. And so now we can begin to fathom how it comes. Thy kingdom come. If you think about it, that's a strange request. If there's an immigrant who's trying to come into a monarchical country, he might say, "Let me come into your kingdom." He wants to go to the kingdom. But we pray, "May your kingdom come." That's basically an admission that we cannot come into the kingdom. God's kingdom has to come to us. It's like being a prisoner of war and sending some kind of a secret message to your king saying, "Let your kingship come here." That is to say, "Send in the troops, fight the war, free me, release me from prison, and make me a member of your kingdom." So this petition is a prayer for freedom, a prayer for freedom from all of the spiritual forces that enslave us: sin, fleshly temptation, the devil, etc. God's kingship or kingdom comes first in time and later in eternity. It comes now when God's word is preached. This word of God is powerful. As St. Paul says, "The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." 2 Corinthians 10. So you are praying in the second petition for the ability to hear God's word, where he sets up his kingdom by destroying false belief and setting up true faith. This is how the king's forces advance and set up his kingdom. And as I also said, the kingdom comes in eternity, or at the end of the world, when Christ will return. When Christ the King comes at the end of the world, then he will set up his kingdom not just invisibly, but also visibly and permanently. So when you pray, "Thy kingdom come," you are praying for Jesus to return and bring this worldly life to an end. You're praying for the end, like this: "Come, Lord Jesus, return and bring us out of this valley of tears to yourself in heaven." May Christ the King, who purchased you with his blood, indeed bring his kingdom to you through his word now and through his appearing at the end of the world. Amen. We sing the hymn.